Hey, listen, I want to direct your attention real quick to our new website. I know you guys have been downloading a lot of stuff on our feed, on our podcast feeds, and I appreciate it. You guys have been putting us over the top. Seriously, I mean, the ratings for the show has been huge, and I want to thank you all for that. We have a new website. Yes, the new website is therobzakarishow.com. Go there, all right? Go there, read the articles that are on the site. Listen to the podcast. It's good stuff. It is. It's good stuff. Just breaking our asses to try to make the website entertaining and informative and all sorts of stuff like that. Getting it up to speed. So go there. It's therobzakarishow.com. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter. Don't forget that's at Rob Zakari Show. So go there, man. Go there. You will enjoy everything, I guarantee you. It will be worth it. So check it out. All right, so listen. Let's talk about the story that is making its rounds over the weekend. Now, we've had we've discussed this almost ad nauseum. I mean, really have. We've been very, and this might be edgy, but we've been very anti-Saudi on this show for quite a while. If you go through our sister site, which is zerofilter.com and extremepolitics.com, that's extreme with an X, you could find other 9/11 Saudi stories that we have done, and there's a lot of them. I'll probably put some up on the new Rob Zakari Show site later, but we've done a lot. This is one of those topics that is near and dear to me. And it's something that I've never been able to understand. And I get the oil concept. I've understood the oil concept. But to the point of murdering thousands and thousands, because that's really what it is. It's not just 3,000 people that died in the tower. It's anywhere between 10,000 to 20,000. Seriously, because you have to add all the first responders that have gotten sick or have died or are going to die. I mean, you have to add all the people that have had health problems associated with 9/11. So you can't just count the 3,000 people that died in the tower. You can't just count the hundreds that died on those airplanes. You also have to count the people that worked day and night trying to rescue to save anybody, anything. People that were involved for days and weeks and months, who all of a sudden, a year, two, 3 years later, they got the cancer, the lung cancer, they got mesothelioma, all of those nasty, nasty diseases you get because you're breathing in asbestos, or you're breathing in gas fumes, whatever. So I get allies that we deal with. I get people that we deal with that are bad countries, that are really bad countries. You know, they kill women who want to go to school. They throw acid in their face. They cut people's heads off. They cut your hands off for stealing. They control the media. But I understand. We deal with some of those countries because they have resources that we need, whether it's oil or natural gas, whatever, or strategically they are positioned in a region of the world that helps us with our security. So I get that. I get kind of turning our heads and letting stuff go by. I mean, think about this, everybody. We're sitting here outraged over the North Carolina bathroom bill, right? Right? Where everybody's outraged. Nobody's gonna go play music there. Nobody's gonna do anything there. Bruce Springsteen, Bryan Adams, the list goes on and on and on and on. List goes, we're offended. But yet, all of these performers at one point or another have done concerts in countries where they put gay people to death. They've done concerts in countries where women are not human. I mean, seriously, they treat women like dogs. Any of these performers that have done concerts in Egypt or Dubai, anywhere in the Middle East, any of these performers that have done concerts in the Middle East, that are performing for dictators. They're performing for people that kill gays. And yet, they're going to make a stand in North Carolina because there's a bill that says, hey, if you got to use the bathroom that. In a public place, listen, if Bruce Jenner has to go into the guy's bathroom, okay? All right, if you got a ding-a-ling, you got to use the men's bathroom. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Okay, if you got a ding-a-ling, you can't go to the WYMCA. Can't go to a woman's gym. You can't go into a woman's shower with your ding-a-ling. Okay, you just can't do it. I know it's very crude. I know I'm not being sensitive, but you just can't do it. That's it. That's it. Okay, if you got a ding-a-ling, you got to use a urinal. That's it. End of story. That's outrageous. That is just, we're going to move this facility. We're going to not. But hey, you know what? We're PayPal and we have businesses. Does PayPal do business? Does PayPal do business in the Middle East? How's that? Ask the PayPal president. Say, do you do business in Dubai? Do you do business in Saudi Arabia? Do you do business in China? I mean, you're outraged over if you got a ding-a-ling, you got to go to the bathroom in the men's bathroom. That outrages you, but you'll do business with a country that doesn't let women drive, doesn't let women go to school, that throws acid in women's faces. That's fine. Get the F out of here. What the F is wrong with the people in this country? Seriously, what the F is wrong with people? Huh? What the F is wrong with people? So I get it, okay? I get it. But I don't get dealing with a country that has a part in killing our citizens. That I don't understand. I've never understood it. And Saudi Arabia, from day one, and here's the tricky part of this conversation. Right now, we're going down the path, which when I was a liberal, okay, when I had a liberal addiction, I would say it all the time, we need to go down this path. But of course, when you bring this up, you're called a Michael Moore whack job. I mean, look what they did to Donald Trump. At the debates, Donald Trump brought up 9/11, brought up George Bush, brought up not keeping us safe. And the Republican establishment called him a Michael Moore crackpot. Now, I despise Michael Moore. I hate Michael Moore. Okay? But there's aspects of his movie, Fahrenheit 9/11, which were true, which are part of a report that's in the 9/11 Commission that the government doesn't want you to see. There's 28 pages that the government doesn't want you to see that talk about Saudi Arabia's involvement, that talk about Prince Bendahar, who was in Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11 movie. So here we are today talking about a bill called the Victims of 9/11, okay? It's called Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorist Attack. And it's for the victims of 9/11 to sue foreign sponsors of terror. Okay? So there's a bill. And here's the amazing part of the bill. We're constantly told, where's the bipartisan working to what? Where is everybody working to bipartisan support? We need everybody to work together. We need everybody. This bill has people from the far left working with people from the far right. This bill, Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorist Act. You want to know who sponsored this bill? Al Franken. Can't get any more left than Al Franken. Other than Chuck Schumer. You know, Chuck Schumer, we're constantly told, Chuck Schumer, the liberal evil demon, Chuck Schumer. And who are we told? That Chuck Schumer is the evil liberal demon besides Mark Levin and Sean Hannity and Ted Cruz. And guess what? Ted Cruz is part of this bill. So here's a bill that Ted Cruz signed and Chuck Schumer signed. You want to talk about bipartisan support? And John Cornyn from Texas signed it. So you got Cornyn and you have Cruz. Then you have Franken and you have Schumer. This bill flew through the Judiciary Committee. It flew, like, not one person went, I don't know about this. I mean, it flew. They wrote the bill. Cruz, Schumer. I mean, think about it. Ted Cruz is constantly going, Donald Trump sponsored the Bill of Eight. The most evil man in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, was part of the Gang of Eight. Donald Trump supported it. So here's a bill that Chuck Schumer is part of and Ted Cruz is part of. So you know this bill. You know this bill is a good bill. When you have Schumer and Cruz together going, we got to pass this bill, and the bill flies through the Judiciary Committee, it's a strong bill. It is a, it's flawless. And it lets the victims of 9/11 go after states, go at, i.e. Saudi Arabia, i.e. Pakistan, i.e. Iraq. It lets families go after countries that were part of these attacks. So basically, Saudi Arabia. Now, Obama and the Obama administration are trying to block this bill. You want to talk about a presidential veto? You want to? He will try to veto this bill as fast as he can, and it will get overridden even faster. This might be one of the only bills in the history, of the Senate that gets 100 yes votes on. And for some reason, Obama is trying to block it. I know this might be edgy to say, but does he got relatives? has he got some relatives in Saudi Arabia? Now, as edgy as that sounds, here's the thing. Once we open this box up again, you have to look at the Bush administration because the 28 to 29 pages that are not being released from the 9/11 commission, that 9 trillion page book. Those 28, 29 pages that are not being released talk about Saudi Arabia's involvement in 9/11. It talks about Prince Bandahar from San Diego. It talks about accounts. It talks about different players involved with Saudi government that funded hijackers' operation. And you have lawmakers that are fighting to get these 28 pages revealed. And Obama will not let them be revealed. Now, maybe that's a deal that he made with Bush. Because if you're going to open all of this up, you're going to have to go after Bush. You have to go after Bush. Because ultimately, when we were attacked and we investigated, because that's what we did. We investigated. and every single finger pointed to Saudi Arabia. Every single finger pointed to Saudi Arabia. And what did we do? What did we do? We attacked Saddam Hussein. We protected people that were from Saudi Arabia. All of these fingers pointed to different diplomats. They pointed to the embassy, the Saudi embassy. There were different bank accounts. There's so many things that had Saudi Arabia being responsible for 9/11. We knew this before we attacked Iraq. But were we going to attack Saudi Arabia? Were we going to drop a nuke on Saudi Arabia? Were we going to do to them what we did to Japan? We should have. We should have. Japan did to us what Saudi Arabia did to us with 9/11. Except our president back then dropped not one, but two nukes on Japan. What did we do? What did we do? We find out Saudi Arabia was behind 9/11, and what did we do? We orchestrated an attack on Saddam Hussein. We invaded Iraq, and we lost thousands of American soldiers. So not only did we lose thousands in the World Trade Center, not only did we lose thousands to disease after the World Trade Center, people working, trying to rescue people, but we also lost thousands of soldiers in Iraq, and thousands more were maimed. We did all of this to protect Saudi Arabia. And that's what these papers show. So I say to my fellow Republicans, and I'm fine. I don't like Bush. I never did like Bush. I don't like Dick Cheney. I never liked Dick Cheney. But just be prepared and be willing to go all in. Because as this opens up, you're going to have to question Bush. You're going to have to revisit the debates when Trump says they lied. And you were all outraged. You were all outraged. Oh my gosh, how could he? What do you mean, how could he say it? Listen. Go read the 28 pages that are sealed from the 9/11 Commission. Talk to some of the investigators that were involved. These investigators are around today. They've been giving interviews all weekend. The New York Times has got a story about it. You can read all this information. Investigators saying they would turn up a lead, and this lead would point to activity going on with the Saudi official or somebody at the embassy. And every time they move towards that individual, the Bush administration, boom, would shut it down. Matter of fact, one of the terrorists that we killed, the drone, that Ann Walkey, we actually stopped him at the airport, and he was let go. I'm telling you, this report, these 28 pages. Not just point the finger at the Saudi government, but they punch him in the face. And when you read this New York Times article, and it's investigator after investigator, and these aren't an anonymous source. It's investigator such and such, investigator such and such, investigator such and such. And they give names and places. Well, we went to interview this person. The Bush administration shut it down. We tracked this bank account that went back to the Saudi embassy. It was shut down. This portion of the bin Laden family was shuttled back to Saudi Arabia. Prince Bendahar from San Diego, this was... The prince associated with the guy from San Diego, and then that was shut down. I mean, even what the 9/11 Commission says, even what they say as far as Saudi Arabia's involvement, the part that involves Saudi Arabia, and it's buried, but it's there. And what it says is no evidence that the Saudi government as an institution or senior Saudi officials individually funded the organization. Let me repeat. This is what was written in the 9/11 Commission that you're all able to read. It's not redacted. It's not hidden. This was them talking about Saudi's involvement or non-involvement. This is what they concluded. After you've got investigators and FBI agents and CIA, you have all of these officials that have come out and said, we got a lot of evidence pointing to Saudi Arabia. And every time we followed up on things, it was shut down by the Bush administration. And the one thing in the 9/11 Commission that talks about Saudi Arabia says, I repeat, no evidence that the Saudi government as an institution or senior Saudi officials individually funded the organization. You know how ambiguous that is? That leaves open less senior official, but less senior official. And parts of the Saudi government. It would be like us saying, well, the government as an institution, the United States as an institution, the White House wasn't involved. Now, maybe the CIA was involved. Maybe. Maybe the FBI was involved. Maybe. Maybe a branch. Maybe a branch of our military. Maybe the command. Maybe the SEALs. That's what that statement reads. That's what that statement reads. And it's almost worded by people that have been involved in the government for a very long time that know how to maneuver that language when we do things like sell arms to the Contras or things in that matter. Where, the FBI goes, we weren't involved. Or the president goes, I wasn't involved. That was this guy, Oliver North. I mean, it's like it was written by people that know the game. Senior official. No senior official. Well, you got less senior officials. Were there less? It's an ambiguous statement. So it makes it not a lie, and it makes it truth. 100% makes it true. Sure. They probably don't have evidence that Prince Solomon or whoever was before Solomon was sitting there with his finger on the controls going, okay, we're going to do this and this is how we're going to do it and we're going to fund this. But other people, other individuals, listen, think about everything that happens as far as terrorism in Saudi Arabia. Remember San Bernardino? You can't forget that, right? It hasn't happened that long ago. And what does everybody say? Oh, the girl, the wife radicalized the American. The wife radicalized the American. Well, guess where the wife was from? Saudi Arabia. Guess where the wife was from? Saudi Arabia. She was born in Pakistan. Oh, another really awesome place to be. And she moved to Saudi Arabia. She was trained in Saudi Arabia. She was indoctrinated into hating America in Saudi Arabia. Came to the United States, moved in with a guy in San Bernardino, got married. Guess what? They killed a whole bunch of people. So Saudi Arabia gets wind of this, and they've known this has been going on, but now they're starting to feel the pressure a little. You know, you got the oil prices, you got the less of a need for oil, you got the United States fracking like it's nobody's business. I mean, listen, it gets downplayed a lot, but we are outputting if as much, if not more oil than Saudi Arabia. We are churning out more, and there's so many more resources that we haven't even touched. There's so many more resources that we haven't even touched. And then we cut this deal with Iran. Good, bad, indifferent. Guess what? It shores up a whole nother pipeline of oil. I mean, there is so much oil right now that you literally can buy a barrel of crude for $30. You could buy an ounce of weed costs more money than a barrel of oil. In a good eighth. Listen to me. A good 3.5 grams of weed costs more than a barrel of oil these days. And it was only a few years ago. I figure 4 years ago, 5 years ago, oil was 100 plus a barrel. Oil at one point was anywhere between $120 to $130 a barrel. They are less four times what they were. Imagine anything that you have that's less four times what it was. Imagine your wife, imagine your girlfriend being four times less cool than she was, or your boyfriend or your husband. Just imagine four times less. Rather it's fat. Rather it's lazy. Just imagine them today. You look at them and go, "Wow, I really love them, and they respect me. They work hard. They clean the house. We get along. I don't know. They do laundry. They have sex with me." Just think of it. I'm being real primal here, but that's the only way I can really hit it home. And then that person deduct it by four times. And think about whenever we're with our significant other, and there's a little rocky road, and we're just like, ugh. You know, like there's a little bump. Maybe you normally only fight once a month. And when that happens, you're just like, "Oh, I hate that." And you make up and you're like, let's not do that. Now imagine you go from that to four times a month, every week. I mean, that's how much oil is worth today versus 4 years ago. So you got the Saudi government starting to really, okay? So you got the Saudi government starting to really, really, really freak. So now you got this report saying, hey, Saudi Arabia is involved, and we want to have a bill that's going to let families go after Saudi Arabia. So now what Saudi Arabia is saying is, well, you know what we're going to have to do? The $750 billion worth of American assets, rather it's treasury bonds, you know, like securities, and or property. We're going to have to just sell all that off. Because if we're going to now get brought to court, so they're already assuming that if the bill goes forward, I mean, think about how guilty the Saudis know they are, because they're already saying, well, if this bill goes through, okay, if this report is true and the 28 pages get revealed and this bill is passed and American families can go after us, we're going to have to sell everything. Because all of our assets will be frozen in court because we're going to get found guilty. That's what they're saying. What they're saying is if this bill goes through and the attorneys and fam, they could go after Saudi Arabia, which means they would go to court. So they would present evidence and they would pull out all the paperwork. They would pull out all the paperwork that's been hidden. They would pull out all the investigators that were part of the investigation going back over 10 years ago. They would convene a jury, and they would present boxes of evidence, and everybody would go, wow, guilty, cover up, guilty, cover up. So the Saudi Arabia government, they're already going, we're hit. So they're saying, well, guess what? We're going to have to sell assets because they're going to get frozen, and we don't want our assets frozen. They're like OJ. They're like OJ. Well, I'm never going to, Ron Goldman, you're never going to get that money. The dad, Goldman, whatever his name is, the Ron, the Jai, I don't remember the dad's name. You're not going to ever get the money that the courts say I owe you. You're never going to get that because I'm never going to get a job. Okay, I'm never going to get a job. And if I do get a job, it's all going to be under the table. She's never going to take my money. That's like what the Saudis are saying. Well, we're going to sell all of our assets. Because once we're found guilty, because we're guilty, the courts are going to freeze our assets. So we're not going to let that happen. So we're going to sell everything off. That's a threat to us. Why? I have no idea. A, it's impossible for them to do it. I mean, seriously. They're going to sell all their assets off. They're going to sell all their bonds. They're going to sell all their real. So what are you going to do? So you're going to destroy your own economy? You're going to basically bankrupt your own company or your own country? Remember, everybody, to sell off your assets, you need someone to buy the assets. And if you have no buyers, you ain't selling the asset. Now, if you have a fire sale, sure, you could sell the asset. But if you're selling assets at a loss and you're talking about close to $1 trillion, you're going to go bankrupt. Okay? Do you get that? So Saudi Arabia goes, oh, well, we own this building, we own this land, so we're going to sell it. Okay, so you're going to have to go call up the real estate matchmaker guy. Hello, Josh. Yes, we want to sell that building. We want to sell that property. We want to sell this building. Okay, well, Prince Bendahar. Okay, King Solomon. We're going to have to, we'll get $5 million for the, no, I want $10 million. All we're getting is four. And this we're getting five, and this we're getting two, and this we're getting 10, and this, no, I'd want, and I need to sell it tomorrow. Sorry, buddy, that's not going to happen. To sell, right now you want me to list about $200 million worth of property just on this one. Yeah, it's going to, no, you, okay, listen, Prince, I can, here, if you'll take $50 million, that's half. Well, that I can move it today for half. Okay, sell. All right, boom. Now, I mean, they can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible to do what they want to do. It's childish. It's ignorant and childish. And it speaks volumes for a country that believes when you die, there's 76 virgins. Okay, virgins that are going to pleasure you and give you fellatio, okay, and rim you, okay? Can I say rimming on the radio? Might have to hit the delay button there. I mean, the mentality of these people, these savages. And it just shows we're going to sell all of our assets. No, you're not, stupid. You need someone to buy them. We're going to sell all of our treasury bonds. No, you're not, stupid. You're not. You ain't doing any of that. Okay? You're not doing any of it, stupid. You're dumb. You're going to bankrupt your country. And imagine this. They're talking about, we're going to sell all of our assets. So they're going to take a loss on assets. Think about this. They're going to take a loss on assets at a time when their number one asset that, or their number one product that they have, that's the money, that's value, is at an all-time low. And it's never, ever going to go up. Oil's never going to go back to $100 and $120, $130 a barrel. It's never going to go there. It's only going to get even worse. As more electric cars and more wind power and solar power and fracking and drilling oil in Antarctica and Alaska, that's never going to stop. Technology's never, ever going to stop. We're always going to keep progressing. We're always going to keep So all of a sudden, 3 years from now, 2 years from now, oil's not going to go back up to $120 a barrel. It's never going to happen. So you got Saudi Arabia with the only thing they have. The only thing they have that's worth anything. It's all that they don't do anything else in that horrible, crappy country of theirs. They have oil. That's it. That's all they got. That's it. And right now, the only thing they have is worth four times less than it was 5 years ago. So you have that and them saying, well, we're going to sell off all of our assets, really. Okay, so you're going to take a huge loss. You're going to take a huge loss. You ain't going to get $750 billion back, stupid. You're going to take a huge loss. And maybe in the process, you'll hurt the U.S. dollar, which will hurt your money because your money is based off of our dollar. The value of your money is based off the value of our money. Stupid. You camel jockey. You effing moron. You murdering, disgusting, camel jockeying thugs. That's what you are. That's why we need a that's why we need a president, okay, not named Barack Hussein Obama. That's why we need a president for when a country does this. The president goes on TV and goes, listen, I just want to say, look, pull the camera. And he grabs the camera and pulls it in. It says, Saudi Arabia, don't get stupid, okay? Don't get stupid. You're lucky I don't bomb you today for what you did 20 years ago. Stupid. Maybe they don't do it on TV. Maybe they do it in one of those meetings where you see the two sit in the Oval Office or wherever the hell they sit and the cameras are there. And the president just leans over and the Prince Salman's waving. And the president goes, come here, come here. And he leans there and slaps him right in his face, knocks his turban off. You punk. How dare you talk about this cut? You ain't going to do nothing. You punk. All right, I know it's a little extreme, but seriously, we're going to sell all of our assets because you're going to press charges against us for killing all of your American, your innocent civilians, your soldiers. We'll fix you. You ain't going to fix nothing, you camel jockey. You ain't going to fix nothing. You a-hole. You a-hole. So that's what we got going on. What do you think of that? That's what we got going on. And of course, like I said, Obama and Kerry are going, no. We can't have this bill. It will affect our diplomatic immunity overseas. It will put our people at risk overseas. How? The bill specifically says terrorism on U.S. soil. It specifically says terrorism on U.S. soil. If they want to write a bill that says an American who straps a bomb to his body walks into our airport, detonates that bomb, and kills people, we could go after the United States. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're free to do that. Because that's what the bill says. Again, why Kerry is protecting Saudis, I don't know. I think we all have a good idea as to why Obama is why Barack Hussein Obama is protecting Saudi Arabia. I think we all understand that. Kerry, I don't know. Because he's toeing the water for the president, I guess. Maybe John Kerry has delusions of grandeur that maybe he could run for president. Maybe in his pathetic mind, he's sitting there going, well, you know, if Hillary loses and you get a President Trump, I could always be the white knight of the Democrats, and yeah, Who knows? I mean, Carrie's delusional. All that Botox and plastic surgery he's had on his face probably clouded his brain. Who knows? Who knows what's going on? But don't let this bill die, ladies and gentlemen. Keep this alive. Saudi Arabia needs to be held accountable, and I hate to say it because I know everybody listens to me, is a conservative, is a Republican, but listen, Bush is going to have to be held responsible also. I'm not saying prosecute him. That's not what I'm saying. Open up this box. You open up this Pandora's box, and you're going to have to point fingers at the Bush administration. When you listen to investigators talk about leads and talk about different situations that they were told to shut up on, it's all coming from George Bush. So you're going to have to throw some shade onto Bush and Cheney. And then you're going to have to revisit the whole Iraq war situation. Because if you're blocking investigations, if you are protecting the Saudi government, the Saudi family, and different Saudi players, if you're doing that after 9/11, it's a natural extension to then launch a war with Iraq, with Saddam Hussein, to get everybody off of probing Saudi Arabia. It's a natural extension. And if you don't believe so, you've been sniffing glue too long and hanging out with Ted Cruz and his Ted Cruz bot army.